Hey, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. It is good to have you with us here at Renewing the Center. Today, we're going to continue our series on the questions God asks. Today, we're going to be in the Old Testament, actually in the prophet Isaiah, and we're going to hear the Lord ask, "Whom shall I send?" Now, he asked Isaiah this question, and let's be honest and clear. No Isaiah is listening to me, most likely. I doubt we have any or many prophets to an entire nation listening to the podcast. I mean, if we do, that is awesome. You go for it. But I do believe that while there is a kind of unrepeatable phenomenon here, whom shall I send? What happens in this story around what Isaiah sees, what he expresses, what God does, and then the question, these are actually, I think, very applicable to our lives. Whether we are a leader of massive significance like an Isaiah, or whether we just feel like we are kind of small potatoes trying to figure out what obedience and faithfulness looks like, I think there's an invitation for all of us here. This is a very, very powerful, and I would argue, very applicable passage for each and every one of us, regardless of our station in life. So I'm going to read from Isaiah 6, beginning the first 8 or so verses. I'll skip around just a little bit, just so that we don't lose the force of the moment. And then we're going to pray, and then we're going to listen to the question that God asks, "Whom shall I send?" "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, which are angels, each with 6 wings. With 2 wings they covered their faces, and 2 they covered their feet, and with 2 they were flying. And I said, 'Woe is me, I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts.' Then one of the seraphs flew to me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. The seraph touched my mouth with it and said, 'Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed and your sin is blotted out.' Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send and who will go for us?' And I said, 'Here am I, send me.'" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Father, we ask you to help us to hear you. God, I pray that you would help us to enter into this really bizarre story written before Jesus came about a prophet being called, set apart, Lord. And I pray that we would not just marvel at this story, at Isaiah's calling moment, Lord, but I pray that we would find in the flow of this story truth for us. Truth for people who work normal jobs and live normal lives. God, I pray that we would see that the way you were with Isaiah is the way you also are with us, and that there are questions you ask us, questions about usefulness, questions concerning participation, questions around whether or not we will say yes to your desire to send us into spaces where we would be useful to you. God, I pray that you would help us to hear that, to press through the resistance, to see what you did in Isaiah's life, to press through the resistance and how that might be applicable for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So this passage is chalked with imagery, and I just want to hold the imagery with you for a few moments as we ask the question, or rather let the Lord ask us the question, "Whom shall I send? Who will go?" So the passage begins with God showing himself to Isaiah as big and powerful and beautiful. I mean, you've got like the Lord seated on a throne, the Lord is high and exalted, his robe is filling an entire temple, we've got angels with all these wings. I mean, this is a really, really evocative and beautiful picture that Isaiah is seeing. He's basically seeing how big God is. And in contrast to how big God is, he sees himself as being small, sinful, unclean. He basically says, "Woe is me," he says. Like, I have unclean lips, and it's not just me. I come from an unclean people. And so what Isaiah sees in contrast to the power of God is that he is not powerful. God is powerful, therefore I am not. I'm weak, I'm broken, I'm sinful, I'm dirty. God then moves toward the sin. He doesn't say, well, yep, Isaiah, you're right. I guess we're going to go find somebody else. He moves toward him in his woe unto me-ness. And there's such a beautiful thing here. Isaiah is able to admit his sin. He's able to admit the places of uncleanness in his life. And the Lord, rather than despising the uncleanness, he moves toward it. And an angel takes a live coal, and I love that imagery of this live coal from the altar, this hot, glowing thing, and he touches his mouth with it. He forgives him. He heals him. I mean, the language here is so beautiful. He says, now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed and your sin is blotted out. When we acknowledge our sin, when we acknowledge the unclean parts of us, the places where, I mean, the Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And that's exactly what Isaiah is seeing here. He's seeing the glory of God, right? God on a throne, God's temple being full of the train of his garment, these beautiful angelic creatures. And it immediately speaks to him of his own sin, his own inadequacy, his own brokenness, his own dirtiness. And the Lord moves toward him in confession and touches him. He cleanses him. Those words, your guilt is departed and your sin is blotted out. Y'all, when we confess our sin, the Lord is faithful and just to forgive us our sin. That's 1 John 1. And it's time for some of us to, without reservation, without qualification, to admit the unclean places in our lives, to name to the Lord that which he already knows. Isaiah is doing this for us. He's giving us a template for how to show up. When God is good, we acknowledge that we're not. When God is clean, we acknowledge that we're unclean. When God is powerful, we acknowledge that we're not powerful. And then what the Lord does in that moment is he moves toward us and he begins to deal with our sin. He begins to cleanse and to blot out and to forgive. And it's so interesting, it's so telling that after God moves toward Isaiah, after he moves toward him in his brokenness and his sin and he cleanses him, he then asks the question. As we look at our lives and name our own faults and our own sins, and the Lord begins to speak forgiveness over us, he then asks this question, whom shall I send? Who will go? Do you know that God wants to use you? God doesn't want to just forgive you. He wants to use you. And this is where we can find our story in Isaiah's story. There are no sideline participants in the heart of God as it relates to the kingdom. He wants to use each and every one of us. When the Lord speaks his mercy and his kindness and his healing and his forgiveness over us, the question he then asks is, will you go? And as I said at the beginning, you're probably not Isaiah. Neither am I. We're probably not going to speak truth to an entire nation. Now, I mean, I guess some of us might, but most of us, the scope of our leadership is going to be a little smaller, and yet it's not insignificant. The question God asks after he speaks healing, cleansing, and forgiveness over his people, after we confess and he forgives, he says, will you allow me to use you? I remember hearing John Wimber, who is one of my heroes. He was founder of the Vineyard Movement. He's since gone to be with the Lord. He once said, we're all just change in God's pocket, coins in his pocket, and he gets to spend us however he likes. And I love that. There's something so liberating about that. I don't have to be a $20 bill in God's pocket. I can just be a good old dime. But that means I carry value and the Lord wants to put me into play. And I just want to say to you, the Lord wants you to participate with him. He wants to send you. And he may not send you to the foreign mission field. Most likely he won't. I mean, some of us will go. He primarily sends us into our existing spheres of influence. He sends us into our jobs, into our neighborhoods, into our existing friendships, into our families. He sends us because we are a sent people. There is an inherent sentness about the people of God. When he works in your life, the question he asks is, who will go? Will you allow me to use you? And I think some of you today, it's time to get off the sidelines. For some of us today, it's time for you to answer, I guess, to first hear the Lord say, who can I send? Who will I send? May I send you? And then our response is me. I just want to say to you, the Lord wants to use you. And you don't have to be an expert. You don't have to be powerful. You don't have to be positionally placed in the halls of power to be useful. One of the breath prayers that I pray most every day is, God, use me today. God, I'm available. I want to be, and I am, change in your pocket. God, spend me however you want. And sometimes, y'all, the way that the Lord uses me is just a kind word, a curious question, a connection point in line at a coffee shop or walking through my day, saying yes to an opportunity to have a meaningful conversation with a friend versus allowing the busyness of the day or the shame of your life to keep you from being available. The Lord wants to use you. He wants to put you into play. And I'm going to tell you, life is way more interesting when we're being used by God. Life is way more of an adventure when we are participating in the process. And so at various junctures, the Lord asks us this question: whom shall I send? Who will go? And I believe he wants you to say, me. I want to be useful. I am change in God's pocket. He can spend us however he wants. So how does he want to spend you today? Be curious. Be courageous. Ask the question. Let him ask you that question. And say, me. Say, I'll go. I'll be useful. God bless you. Go in peace. We'll see you soon.